You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We have been all over the map, all over the globe. We talked about Jeff Bezos going into space for 10 minutes and then coming back down. We've talked about the controversy behind Gold Star Chili in Cincinnati. We've also talked about Game 6, the Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. We'll get to your phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Update the poll results, if you can, Fritzy, in the final hour.
Okay, we've got Rodgers holding out, then playing for the Packers this season, 58%. Rodgers reports to camp on time, 37%. Then Rodgers gets traded, a little below 8%.
All right. Yeah, we're keeping an eye on this because Adam Schefter had a tweet earlier where he talked about the Packers offered Aaron Rodgers a two-year contract extension that would have tied him to Green Bay for five more seasons and made him the highest paid player in the NFL. Rodgers declined the offer, and then Schefter ends his tweet by saying, proof, it's not about the money. I don't know what this means as far as the timing of it coming out now. When did they make the offer? Were they in negotiations? And if so, now where do things stand? Because camp opens up next week for the Green Bay Packers. We'll get to more phone calls coming up. We make way for one of the great executives in TV history, NBC Universal Sports, the Olympics. He also was one of the creators of Saturday Night Live. Oh, by the way, he's Dick Ebersol, who joins us on the program. Dick, good morning. Thanks for joining us. We wanted to talk about 25 years ago this week, Muhammad Ali lit the Olympic torch in Atlanta. And I was curious, the backstory of that, like, how did you keep that secret from everybody, including those who probably worked for you?
Well, it started, Dan, a few days before Christmas in I guess it would have been, the games were in, what, 96, so it would have been just Christmas week in 95. And I was in Billy Payne's office. He was the head of those games. He'd gotten the rights to the games for Athens, or not Athens, but Atlanta. And he, when asked by me who had he decided would light the cauldron, he said Holyfield. And I said, Billy, I just don't think that's a good idea. I just don't think he really has that stature. I know he's a local guy, but there's somebody who's much better for this. And he said, who? And I said, Muhammad Ali. And he said, in all earnestness, he said, Dick, I just think I'll have a terrible time trying to sell that here in Atlanta. And I said, Billy, it's just not comprehending what Ali is all about at this stage of his life. I think he's probably the most beloved person in the entire world, other than probably the Pope. He's appreciated by young people, by people who are now well beyond their youth, who watched his valiant fight for what he thought was right. He gave up his prime earning years. The sacrifices were enormous. He put everything on the line. And to show you how strong he held his opinions, he sat on those sidelines for several years, losing that money. And in the meantime, he really tested out the court system, and he won a unanimous verdict from a very, very conservative U.S. Supreme Court. I think it was 8-0. He was vindicated, and he went back to fighting again. And Billy said, geez, I still don't think I know enough. And do you remember Lisa Lacks, who worked for us at NBC? She was our primary filmmaker, Dan, and she, I said, I want you to make this film. I called Don Hewitt, the 60 Minutes executive producer, and he had done the most recent interviewer. He'd had somebody from his staff, had been in Cuba about 2 weeks before and done an interview with Ali. And Lisa cut all this stuff together through the ages, and we sent it to Billy. This would have been in the spring of 96. And he watched it, and he got a pretty strong sense of, you know, what this real Ali was all about. But he was still a little reluctant. And at that point, I got off the phone and called Andrew Young, who was a prominent member of the board for the Atlanta Games, the former ambassador to the United Nations, among other things. Big deal in Georgia. And I said, you've got to push Billy over the line. And within a day, he did. And Billy always appreciated that fact. And as Clinton told, Clinton told me the day after the torch lighting in, not the torch lighting, but the cauldron lighting in Atlanta, he said, when Ali appeared, the world heard the loudest hush in human history. Because when he came up over the rim of the stadium and the public saw him, it wasn't initially cheers. It was this kind of enormous kind of sound that was just everywhere. And what a lot of people forget, they spent a fortune building this ramp on the exterior of what became Turner Field so that the athletes could gradually walk up five stories and come up over the rim of the stadium, as opposed to in the past, all Olympic ceremonies, they come walking in some gate into the stadium. But here, they just appeared. And when they saw the athletes coming up and then they saw Ali emerge, it was just unbelievable. And as it was, his courage was on display. And I suggest to people, I don't know how often you'll be seen again now. We've just had the anniversary. But watch as he holds that torch to light the arrow, not the arrow, but the thing that looked like a little rocket that was going to shoot up and light the cauldron. And the flames are licking back across his forearms. Yeah. And I kept thinking, how much longer can he hold this? Because it's got to be burning this, the top of his arms. But he did until the thing lit. He was an amazing, amazing character. And I knew him beforehand because of my days in Wide World of Sports at ABC. But I did get to know him better through the years after that. In fact, Susan gave a birthday party for me, my 50th, in 97. And it was in a theater off Broadway. And it was, the theme was This Is Your Life. And they had Costas play the role of, what was his name, Ralph Edwards? Was he the host of This Is Your Life?
Yeah.
And he had a script inside the book. And the voices would go, Dick, I remember the time, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, out would come like Bill Russell. And Russell, who was and still is a very good friend that goes all the way back to me being a teenage production assistant doing the NBA games while I was still a student at Yale, Russell told the story of the two of us not knowing that are driving up Route 5 in from L.A. to San Francisco, him on his way home to Seattle. I didn't know he was doing this. And I was in a Porsche. I'd been unceremoniously let go by NBC Entertainment at some point before that. So I had decided, I woke up one morning and I said, I'm going to see if I can make it from Beverly Hills to the St. Francis Hotel in San Francisco in under 5 hours. Insane. I mean, whatever I was thinking. So I'm going up Route 5 at over 100 miles an hour. And I notice that this bug, this Volkswagen bug, hardtop, it keeps getting closer to me. It's like hanging off the left side of my car, but not quite where I can see the driver. And then I realize I can't see the driver. And then suddenly the thing pulls dead even, and the horn starts beeping. And I look, and Russell has leaned forward from the back seat and looked at me. And he's smiling. I know he's cackling because he doesn't laugh. He cackles. And we pull off of Route 5, and he tells me that he's gone down to pick up this car. He'd always wanted to have a Volkswagen Bug, so he'd removed the front seats and had an oversized seat put in the back of it. And he drove from back there, Dan, and we just stood by the side of the road. And he was here when the Hall of Fame ceremonies took place recently in Connecticut and Massachusetts. He stayed here with Susie and I and his wife and his godson. You know his godson is? Sean Kemp Jr. Remember Sean
Yeah.
Kemp?
Yeah, played his for Seattle. Did Bob Costas know the night of the ceremony, the opening ceremonies with the torch with Ali? Did he know that?
I never told he or Enberg. And I only had one conversation about it. I had it with somebody else that I don't think you know, so I won't mention their name. I just said, I think these guys are such solid pros that their excitement and their immediate recall of anything that was important about Ali would easily meet the test. And I didn't tell them.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, when you hear the tape even today, they're both extraordinary. I mean,
Enberg is truly surprised, Dick. He is Dick
Enberg. You got a bunch of oh my's. You got a bunch of oh my's.
Yeah. Famous for his oh my's. Yeah. I was just curious.
But Bob's recall was splendid.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, you had to have complete trust in them, and rightfully so, that you know they would handle the surprise, but they would also give you the backdrop of what this moment means, that Ali battling Parkinson's. You know, even Janet Evans handing it off to Ali. I forgot about little Janet Evans, the swimmer there.
Yep.
Before I let you go, can I want to ask one Saturday Night Live question.
Sure.
Do you remember Eddie Murphy's audition or the reaction to
it? No, I don't. And here's the interesting thing. When I went back to the show, about 2 years after Lorne left the first time, we'd started the show together. I left after a bunch of years. He stayed for probably five or six longer. And then he left, and the person who succeeded him just didn't know what to do, and the show rapidly fell apart. Lorne was asked to go back. He still said no. He didn't like Silverman, nor did I. But Brandon Tartikoff, who was my best friend from college years and until the day he died, he talked me into it. And I came back. I did not know Eddie other than from being amazed at just how funny he was in the few shows I'd watched in that period, because the show wasn't very good other than him. And when I got there, it took me about 1 week to decide that the quickest way to at least send the message out that the show was back, I constructed the show that the first three acts, which is basically 11:30 to midnight, that Eddie would be in every one of them. And they would be ones that he had conceived and worked on with these two writers who were his partners in crime, comedy crime, all the way until today. They've written all his movies, David Sheffield and Barry Blaustein. And
he was
the show
19.
Revived him.
He was 19.
Yeah, well,
at
he
the
was
time.
18 when I got there.
Wow.
And he carried the show. And I'll tell you one story that you'll just love. So I get I'm back on the show for several months, maybe six, and the security people have called upstairs at NBC and said that. What's the name of the famous children's show? Mr. Rogers was downstairs and wanted to see me. So they brought him upstairs and he sat with me and he just told me how disappointed he was that Eddie was doing Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. He thought it was too tough on the show. And I said, no, it's as loving as you can get. It's him adapting it to the circumstances of what a young black kid would fully understand. And it probably was already a fan of Mr. Rogers, and he just didn't want to accept it. So I walked him down the hall to a room where Eddie was with his two writers, and they talked to him for a while. He was charmed by it, but he came back to my office and he still said, I still wish I couldn't do it anymore, but I just decided to keep hearing it. And it continued to be one of the two or three things the audiences wanted to watch the most. And it was a lovely caricature.
Did you try to get Mr. Rogers on Saturday Night Live with Eddie?
But the fact was, he didn't want Mr. Rogers to air anymore, so there was no way on earth that he was also going to accept an invitation to come do the show. So I never made the offer because he was really disappointed that I wasn't just ending it there and then with him in my office.
Hey, Dick, it's great to talk to you as always. I hope you're doing well. My best to Susan and the family, and thank you again.
You too. You're welcome.
Thank you. That's Dick Ebersol, TV executive, senior advisor for NBC Universal Sports, the Olympics, former chairman of NBC Sports, once my boss there at NBC. It's one of those where when he holds court and he's got a lot of stories to tell. But going back, and Paulie said, do you realize Costas didn't know that Muhammad Ali was going to light the torch? And I said, I can't imagine that Bob, being the perfectionist that he is, would allow that to happen without at least having a sense of the magnitude of this. But, you know, what Dick Ebersol was trying to do is he wanted it to be a secret, and he wanted the announcers to have the same reaction. And Paulie's done this to me before. He goes, look, if I find out something, do you want to know it, or would you rather react, you know, normally or naturally? And I said, you know, that really depends. I want to make sure that if I can add something to it, or I need to do research to add something to it. Yeah, Paul.
One that stands out about whatever the year was that Brett Favre retired from the Packers or left the Packers, Jay Glazer called in, text in, and said, I've got a bomb. I've got a monster. And we put Jay on hold, and I told you to put Jay on without you knowing what Jay had to report. And so when you heard Jay Glazer say Brett Favre is going to announce his retirement tomorrow, you heard it the same time ever all our listeners did, and I thought it was cool that way.
Yeah, but if I'm hosting the Olympics, I would like to know a little bit more. But, I mean, Bob is such a professional, and Dick Enberg, rest his soul, you know, you got the over-the-top reaction from Dick Enberg with the oh my, and Bob giving you the backdrop on Muhammad Ali. And the fact that he's up there, and when you realize he's shaking because he has Parkinson's, I worry, even I'm watching it, I know how it ends, and he can only use one hand, and those flames are coming up his forearm. But he had created such goodwill by 1996 that if you would have said to him in 1968 or 69 or 70, you know, one day you're going to light the Olympic torch, the flame, the cauldron, he probably would have said you're crazy. Because I think when Ali got back from winning the gold medal in Rome, he threw his medal into the river in Louisville. And I think there was, you know, a racial situation in Rome. And he had won the gold medal, and he came home, and he threw his gold medal away. Let's take a break. Hope you enjoyed that. Might have been a little bit out of left field, but just remembering that back. And also Eddie Murphy. If you want to talk about going from 0 to 60, when people become a overnight sensation, Eddie Murphy became an overnight sensation, like a true overnight sensation. He went, it wasn't 0 to 60, it was 0 to 100. And he might have started in October, and by December, he's on magazine covers. He was that big a deal back then. 17 after the hour, take a break here on the Dan Patrick Show. If you feel exhausted in the morning, mentally or physically, that's not normal. That's why I want to tell you about M-Drive Boost and Burn, the only supplement that's going to give you an energy boost and also is going to stay or keep you driven, and you're going to feel your best. It's a daily supplement. It's clinically tested. The ingredients, M-Drive Boost and Burn, you build lean muscle, you burn body fat, stay at the top of your game, and no matter what your age is, M-Drive Boost and Burn can help you. Go to mdrivedan.com. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. You can also find it at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. So join the community of us driven guys who aren't ready to slow down. You fight back against the clock, and you can do so every single day. M-Drive Boost and Burn. Boost energy, burn fat. Go to mdrivedan.com. Try M-Drive Boost and Burn for yourself. mdrivedan.com for free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, or available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Bad news for the LA Rams. Our running back, Cam Akers, is it a torn Achilles, Paulie?
Yeah, that's according to Adam Schefter. Nice running back.
Yeah, good story, too. Oh, that's sad. So he's done for the year. I don't know how much depth they have at running back. I just know Akers, you know, when they overpaid for Todd Gurley and then they finally got rid of Todd Gurley and Cam Akers came in. And he had a nice season last year. I don't know what his numbers are, but it always felt like that they had a legitimate running game with Cam Akers. But Achilles, was this off-season workout? Because they're not even at camp yet.
Yeah, very few details. Schefter has that the Rams haven't announced it. He said he underwent testing to confirm the injury. Man. No word from the Rams as of Tuesday morning.
Buccaneers at the White House today. You imagine Gronk at the White House? Talk about the bull in the China closet. Does he show up with no sleeves on? Do they have fun at all at the White House? Can you, like, what would you want to do if you only get to go there once? And let's say you're a football player. You would want to go out to the Rose Garden or the lawn and throw football?
You can't bring 50, 60 guys into the Oval Office, I'm guessing. That seems like the peak, doesn't it, of the White House visit? Nobody gets in the Oval Office. I don't visit.
Kim Kardashian did.
She did?
Yeah.
So if you're like an individual.
Yeah.
But a group can't.
Yeah. if Tom Brady went there as an individual, then he'd get in the Oval Office.
That seems to be peak White House visit.
Yeah, but Kim Kardashian got into the Oval Office. When she was there to talk about prison reform with President Trump. Yeah, Paul.
Would you rather visit a president of your choice in the White House and be in the Oval Office with him? Or fly with that same president on Air Force One? Same amount of time. You get like an hour. In the Oval Office or Air Force One?
That's I would do Air Force One. Because there are a lot of people who have been to the White House. But you get to be on Air Force One. Can you order whatever you want? No. Just, you know, when your kids, if you sit in first class and they play with all the buttons, or they get into a new car and they're, you know, pressing all the buttons, is that what we would probably, what's this do? No, not that. What about that? What's this do? Yeah, see.
And just the size of Air Force One, I mean, it's gigantic.
Yeah.
It's absolutely massive. That's a pretty unique experience.
Yeah, I would think Air Force One would be pretty good. Yes, Todd?
And what if one of the president's kids is kicking the back of your seat? That just ruins the whole experience. They're off in the Oval Office.
Like they're going to be sitting behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you're seated. Is it like Warren Buffett and you know, the billionaires where they have couches in there? I think it's not just, you know, rows of seats. I think that's in the back for the press corps. I don't think everybody.
I got to play peekaboo with the president's kid for 45 minutes.
Yeah, Paul.
I'm fascinated by the White House, the inner workings. When Jerry Seinfeld did Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with President Obama, he said, "How far could you walk in your residence side in your underwear until you encounter someone like a security person?" And of course, he didn't answer because I don't walk around in my underwear. But it's fascinating to see, like, how much privacy does the president have, like, at night? Can he take a walk without seeing a security person?
Seinfeld should have asked Bill Clinton that question of how far can you walk in your underwear?
Right.
I go out to the Rose Garden in my skivvies.
Wouldn't you like to have Matthew McConaughey interview Bill Clinton? Or just have them have a conversation?
Get back my Airstream, big guy.
Or can we put Bill Clinton in all of Matthew McConaughey's roles?
You know what? Put him in those Lincoln commercials. Let him do whatever those commercials. Like, can you imagine watching those commercials with Matthew McConaughey and going, "I'm going to buy me a Lincoln." Hey? Here's a big steer in the middle of the road. I'm going to buy a Lincoln. Hey, I'm playing pool at my house, but I'm going to leave and get my car. I'm going to buy a Lincoln.
It's a baller house, though.
It is.
This baby's cool. He went the AC off.
But why does he leave his own house while people are there at his house?
Very rude.
Unless he's like, "I love this car, man."
See, I like the Wild Turkey commercial where he's out in the middle of the field somewhere and there's lights strung up somehow. I guess they have a generator. And he's also playing a piano, which must have been heavy as hell to get all the way out into the middle of that field. But damn, it looked like a good party.
Damn. Yes, Todd.
It's a nice sunset, but stopping as a family of oxen crosses the street. I don't know if that's making me rush to the dealership.
Oxen. Oxen doesn't come up as nearly as it should, as enough as it should. You just don't get oxen in a conversation. Yes, Todd.
I was going to give you a poll question update.
Oh,
I just felt like doing it, even though you didn't call for it. Just changing it up a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah. Okay.
Rodgers holds out, then plays for the Packers this season, 54%. Rodgers reports to camp on time, 38%. Rodgers gets traded, 8%.
Because now it's getting to the point where I want something to happen. Now I want Rodgers to get traded. He holds out. He retires. He goes to Jeopardy. Like something. And even though I've said all along I think he's going to play for the Packers, at this point, don't you want something to happen? Just you feel like, okay, now it was worth it through all of this. All of the updates. All the tweets. All the I'm hearing. The inside information guys. And then he's just going to show up and go, "Yeah, I'm ready to play." Yeah, Paul.
I think the tough thing is at this point, it's hard to picture a trade partner. If there was a trade that was going to happen, it doesn't seem like there's that many teams that are in that position. If you took a team like, throw out the Miami Dolphins, if they wanted to give up a guy like Tua, they would give him to Houston, not to the Packers.
Yeah,
Packers supposedly have a quarterback in waiting.
Yes. And then what do you do with Drew Lock if you're Denver? Because Green Bay doesn't want another young quarterback. They already have him. What do you do? Is Drew Lock the backup if Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver? That's what I'm trying to understand. I'm just trying to be realistic about this and understand it. What is it that Aaron Rodgers wants, and can the Packers give it to him? And if not, then let's move on. Because after a while, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play for you, is Jordan Love ready? And the answer is no, because if Jordan Love was ready, then I think the Packers early on would have said, all right, you got a problem with us? We're going to trade you. And we're going to decide where you're going. How's that? Because then you feel Jordan Love is ready. Jordan Love's not, or they would. They'd probably call his bluff and say, all right, you want out of here? We're going to send you two, and then fill in the blank. Bob in Seattle joins us. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Morning, DP.
Morning, Bob.
Hey, 6 foot, 180. Great interviews today. I looked up the video for Muhammad Ali lighting the cauldron. I'm a heavy equipment foreman here in Seattle, and I'm sitting in my truck bawling my eyes out. It's just fantastic. But so I wanted to ask you, like, is there an event or sport you or the Danettes are looking forward to watching the Olympics this year? Go Hawks.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Simone Biles. You know, that's why we get in this business, that you're able to witness history, having the opportunity to contrast and compare with other Olympic athletes that you've seen, or it might be another sport. But I would say Simone Biles definitely, and Katie Ledecky. Those would be the two athletes that stand out. I don't know, but this is the beauty of the Olympics. There's always a story or stories that emerge where you go, oh my God, I never thought I would be interested in this. Team handball, judo, something comes up where you go, I never thought I'd be interested in this. It's like, let's see, curling during the Winter Olympics. People love curling. Love it. I go back to when I covered the Olympic tryouts for curling in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And I went, and it was fascinating. Like, they were going to be on the Olympic team. And you're thinking, this sport is going to be in the Olympics. And just, they were serious when they got on the ice. And then, you know, there was a keg of beer afterwards. But I was just fascinated with that, just the lifestyle. When somebody says, you know, I'd like to grow up to be a pitcher or a quarterback. What do you want to be when you grow up, Timmy? A curler. Okay. How do you do that? Yeah, Paul.
If they added beer to Olympic curling, the ratings would go through the roof. Can you imagine what the guy's got, the little sweeper thing and like a koozie in his hand, just pounded out a hams?
I don't think that you could sweep while having a beer.
We'll find out next on NBC.
Yeah. Yes, dude.
Just a quick Matthew McConaughey update, former People's World Sexiest Man.
Yeah.
This week, the cover story of AARP Magazine. How about that?
Oh, welcome to the club.
Welcome.
Yeah. Who's the same age as Matthew McConaughey?
I think Fritzy and I are. I think he's born about a month before or after us.
Same year, same month, same day.
Yeah, right around there. Right.
Same month, same day. I mean, how crazy is that?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Bobby in Cincinnati joins us. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call today. First-time caller, love the show, love Skyline. I'm calling to see, what are your thoughts on Todd either doing mock headlines or a limerick on the Skyline situation?
Ooh,
love to hear your thoughts.
Okay. All right, thank you, Bobby. Can you pull together a limerick in the next 20 minutes and do it for Cincinnati? One of the top trending topics in America has to do with the Cincinnati chili known as Gold Star.
I'm on the case.
Okay. What voice will you be doing it in?
I will do it in Mike Tyson's voice.
Mike Tyson does a limerick on Gold Star chili. That's ratings gold right there. Ratings gold. Cameron in Chicago. Hey, Cam.
Hey, 6 foot, 175. Had two statements. One is, I think Skyline would be more considered a mole than chili, than a traditional chili.
Okay.
It's got chocolate and cinnamon in it, not ingredients typically found in good chili. And then the second is Chris Ballard, GM for the year.
All right.
Go Colts.
All right. Well, thank you, Cameron. I don't know where that came from with Chris Ballard, but good luck with the Colts there. Well, if they pull off, you know, this trade and Carson Wentz proves to be an all-pro again, then, yeah, that'll be GM of the year. Yeah, Paulie.
More importantly, he's correct. A mole is like a sauce, a thick sauce with fruit, nut, chili pepper, a little spice, but also cinnamon to give it some sweetness. That's a good comparison for Skyline Chili.
Mole is, you know, more of a Mexican or Spanish
sure.
Restaurant, mm-hmm. I think. I think there's a restaurant in New York in the West Village called Mole.
If you take the accent off, it's mole.
Yeah, I know.
And just, no one's going there to eat.
Yeah. Hey, where are you going, moles? I don't know. You walk in, the bartender's got one of those big moles on his face. It's like Moe's Tavern or Moe's Bar in Simpsons. Like, it'd be just mole. Hey, why do they call you mole? Okay.
What's in my soup?
On my way home, I'll stop off, pick up some moles. Gross.
What was the Austin Powers where Fred Savage, didn't he have like, did the mole grow on his face? Or did it move? I just remember that he would look at Fred Savage, I think, and then it got bigger. Yes, Paulie.
There's also the scene in Uncle Buck where John Candy is the uncle and he goes to school to check on one of the kids and he's talking to the principal. And the principal's got this gigantic, oversized mole. And he's trying to talk about it, and he keeps making reference to it.
I'm like, Wally Russell's wart.
What? Buck melanoma.
Yeah. Buck melanoma.
That's a great scene.
Brett in Wisconsin. Hi, Brett. What's on your mind today?
Going, Dan.
Hey, bud.
How's it going?
Great. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Oh, just first off, wanted to say Bucks and six tonight.
Okay.
Then second, let's stop giving fire to Adam Schefter. That's got to end. That guy's inside information is terrible, because I have some real stuff for you.
All right.
So we all know Rodgers paid for his golf membership at the private course in Green Bay.
Yeah.
His house is being cleaned tomorrow, deep cleaned, waiting for his arrival. And he just paid for his hangar, his private hangar at the airport in Green Bay.
How long do you have to pay for that hangar?
It's renewed every year.
Oh, so but it is for a year that he's going to have his private hangar there.
Correct.
All right. Well, thank you, Brett. I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know how this ends. I don't. And Brett has had some information for us here. You know, the golf course, that is true. He re-upped his membership there. I don't know about the deep cleaning at his house. But if Shefty reports this in 2 minutes, then I'm gonna throw the BS flag on Shefty. And I'm hearing, Greeny, I'm hearing that Aaron Rodgers is having a deep clean done to his house there. Well, you can deep clean it if you're going to sell it, right?
Of course, you can twist it any way you want. Preparing for a sale?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Being staged right now?
Oh, okay. I love it. It's just, I hate it, but there's part of me that loves it, because there's always, like, just give me things to talk about. But I want legitimate things to talk about, not I'm hearing sources close to me. Even though Brett in Wisconsin, all right, he renewed his airplane hangar and his golf membership, and he's having his house deep cleaned. Okay. I'm fine with that. Yeah, see?
Brett just gave us the cousin of, oh, no, they're definitely going to this city. Their wife was there looking at schools.
Ooh.
Something. There's always that report like, oh, no, LeBron definitely going to the Sixers. They were there looking at schools for the kids.
That is true. That was a big deal.
That always happens.
Yeah. You know, I'm hearing somebody I know said that they saw. And then
they're shopping for houses.
Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and Todd's limerick as he pays tribute to Gold Star Chili. That's after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check in with the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow as they open up training camp along with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They get a couple extra days because they're going to play in the Hall of Fame game. Phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. We'll get to those phone calls coming up. This day in sports history, what we learn, all of that. And let's start with Jeff in Los Angeles. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
What's going on, DP?
Hey, bud.
So all this Olympic talk kind of reminded me about something here. Doesn't Paulie have a bet that if Michael Phelps doesn't compete in this year's Olympics, he has to wear a full Michael Phelps Speedo swimming outfit?
Yes.
For an entire show?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that was still going to happen because I've been waiting for 4 or 5 years now for this. So.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, for reminding us. We have so many bets that happen during the show and after the show and before the show. We forget. But we do rely on the audience to remind us. But when the Olympics were delayed last year, Paulie was holding out hope that Michael Phelps was somehow going to go to the Olympic trials and he was going to be on a relay team. But, yeah, Paulie, you're running out of time with Michael Phelps getting in the pool.
And you know me, I'll use semantics when I can to get out of a bet.
Yep.
You know, because I saw today or the other day, NBC tweeted out, Michael Phelps heading to Tokyo for the Olympics. I'm like, that kind of counts.
Close. He's got to get in the pool.
All right.
But does he do a
demo?
Yes. Does he get in the pool doing a demonstration? I think he's got to compete. But I would say, Paulie, I'd get ready for Michael Phelps Speedo.
I had 5.5 years to lose weight, and I still didn't do it. I had to lose weight.
And I want you to have the goggles, too, the swim cap.
The little nose thing?
You don't have to do the nose things. They don't do those things. Todd, do you have a limerick with Gold Star chili?
You know what I do.
Or Skyline chili. Now, this is Gold Star.
This is for Gold Star.
Yeah, does Mike Tyson have a limerick?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is Mike Tyson.
Yeah, let's have Mike do it.
Okay, so Mike Tyson doing a Gold Star chili limerick.
You prefer Skyline? Don't be silly. You can't approach this willy-nilly. Whether you're skinny or a fatty, if you're hungry in the natty, don't bite an ear, eat Gold Star chili.
That's
funny.
That was great. The laugh is just wonderful. God, I got to get Tyson in studio.
You see what I did? I made a reference to biting Holyfield.
I know, I got it.
I might say that was Todd's best limerick ever.
Ever?
Yeah. I don't know of another one that rivals that limerick. It's cleverly worded. His impression was good.
All right. Let's go to the judges.
I will take that.
All right. So Seton, that's a 10. Paulie, what'd you give Fritzy?
I both laughed lightly and clapped.
Okay. I'm going to give you a solid 9.4.
I'm thrilled with that.
Yeah. Take the rest of the week off.
Thanks. We already have one in Iceland, and we'll stick around. With friends like that, who needs enemies? Am I right, Danny?
That's the actual Mike Tyson laughing. And sometimes he would laugh. And it wasn't at something funny, or you didn't think that it was funny, but then he would just laugh.
Yeah, he'd just say something like, you know, people always want to ask me about my boxing career. Like, why is that something to laugh at?
I know. It's so random where you go, I don't know what he's laughing at.
He used to pick on me when I was a little kid.
Paulie, this day in sports.
Got to follow that. 1859, Brooklyn and New York professional baseball teams played a game at Fashion Park Racecourse in Long Island. Admission was charged for the first time ever to see a professional baseball game. It was 50 cents to get in 1859, and the players on the field did not receive a salary. In 1947, this is kind of a big one, the NFL ruled that no professional team could sign a player that had college eligibility remaining, thus set up the NCAA. Mm. So a ruling by the NFL gave the NCAA the power to keep athletes in school. Let's see. Oh, this is good. 2003, Ben Curtis, an unknown PGA Tour rookie, in his first time playing in a major, won the British Open.
Yeah, that was at Royal St. George's where they just played. In fact, I think we had him in studio after he won that. On this date in 1973, Wilbur Wood started and lost both games of a doubleheader. He lost 12-2 and 7-0. Wilbur Wood started both ends of a doubleheader. Both ends. And I think at the time they had the pinstripes with the red. They were white uniforms, red pinstripe. And that was when Dick Allen was on the team, the White Sox. Let me see. Get a couple more phone calls. Alex in Wisconsin. Hi, Alex. What's on your mind today?
Morning, Dan and the Danettes. 5'10", 180. So with game six of the finals being in Milwaukee tonight and Rodgers having a stake in the team, I got to think he might be making an appearance.
Mm.
Do you think that the Packers released the contract information before the game to have a little battle for Wisconsin sports fans' hearts?
I don't know, but that could be the call of the week there, Alex. Call back tomorrow and take a victory lap if that were to happen. I don't think this is from the Packers. Now, it does make it seem like the Packers tried to keep him, but I don't think that's been a secret. They've tried to keep him. They want to keep him. They were going to extend his contract, make him the highest paid player in the NFL. I can't imagine Aaron Rodgers showing up tonight, sitting next to David Bakhtiari, chugging beers. It'd be great. But if he shows up wearing a Broncos hat like that, you know, then I think we got an idea of how this is going to.
It's not going to work out well with those fans.
It's not. It is not.
The venison section will just crush him.
Brian in South Carolina. Hi, Brian. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just going to say, being down here in South Carolina, we have probably too many Ohio transfers down here. And working in the bar industry, I ran into four coworkers, all from Cincinnati. And after a night of playing drinking games, they were like, we're going to eat some Skyline chili. I was like, oh, I've heard you guys talk about this stuff. And at a solid 6 foot, 243, anything with cream cheese is pretty good in it. And I found it to be a little bit better than my step family from Detroit always putting peanut butter in their chili. So I don't know.
Oh,
you can go ahead and debate that one.
Thank you, brother. Skyline chili is not really chili. It's just a topping. It's a little, I think that brings on heightened expectations. Like, man, that Skyline chili. Like, you think they got a big pot of chili there and it's going to be so great. Get those oyster crackers in there. And then you realize that it's not exactly chili. It's just a little topping. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you.
Big-time athletes endorsing products are more than ever looking for a piece of the company they're promoting as opposed to just a paycheck for doing the commercial.
Yeah, this is where Shaq is making his money. He's like, you don't have to pay me, just give me a piece of the company. Seton O'Connor.
According to John Berry, John Smoltz, super competitive.
Yeah, all right. I've been around John, and he seems mild-mannered, but I guess that ping pong, he was very competitive when he came in studio, and I know he is at golf and a Hall of Fame baseball player. Paulie?
19-year-old Kobe Bryant used to watch Michael Jordan interviews.
Todd, what did I learn?
John Barry thinks the Suns are not a fractured team. They're confident and will likely win the whole thing if they could get past Milwaukee tonight. Losing my voice.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options. Cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile. Taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets. We'll recap the game tomorrow and check in with the Cowboys. Hope you'll join us.